I'm Matt Lehman, and you're listening to Django Riffs. We talk about Django, the Python web framework that will help you build your next web app. Let's get to the topic for this episode. Episode 11, Here, There, Middleware. Hi, welcome back to Django Riffs. On this episode, we're going to investigate Django middleware and see what it does for your project. We're going to see why middleware is useful and how you can work with it. On the last episode, we took a look at users and working with users in the user auth system and all of the tools involved with that. And we touched a little bit on middleware in that story, but very briefly. And so this time we're going to dig into middleware and see how Django uses it and what it is and how you can use it yourself. So to begin, let's think about where middleware exists in a Django project and a framework that you can use to think about middleware. So middleware, as the name it might imply, is code that lives in the middle, but the question becomes, in the middle of what? And the middle refers to this space and time between when an HTTP request is created by the framework. Middleware can also refer to the time after your view completes and is sent out, but before the actual response is sent out over the network to a browser. So let's make an analogy that might make this a little bit more clear. At my local grocery store, I can find a candy called an Everlasting Gobstopper. If you've never heard of it, I'll describe it. But it's a candy that is a hard-shelled candy that you suck on and enjoy it that way. And the interesting aspect of an Everlasting Gobstopper is that it changes colors and flavors as you have it in your mouth. So there are layers built upon layers of different kinds of candy until you get to a soft middle. And middleware is a bit like those candy layers where your view code is the soft center. But there's a problem with this analogy to some degree. When you eat a piece of this candy, you experience one layer at a time, and then you get to the middle and you're done. But with middleware in Django, it's more like burrowing through the layers to try and come out the other side, as if you were to take a drill or be a worm or some kind of thing that could get through the candy and experience layer, 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 get to the middle, and then go out the opposite side, experiencing the same layers in the reverse order. I've included a diagram in the show notes that can illustrate what this would look like in the context of the middleware that is included with Django when you run the start project command. Django has a section called middleware in the settings file that will list all of the middleware that it's going to use for your project. And that middleware list is the code that Django will run before it runs your view code. So how does this layering work? How does Django accomplish this? The answer comes about by how Django starts up the application. And it varies a little bit whether you're running with the synchronous mode of Django or the new asynchronous mode that comes with Django. And I'm going to focus my attention on the synchronous mode, but you can understand that the async stuff is pretty much the same sort of story. But well, let's focus on WSGI. If you think back to the very first episode, we talked a little bit about WSGI. WSGI stands for the Web Server Gateway Interface, and it is the interface that is used by Python applications to talk to Python web servers. By having a common interface, it allows applications from different frameworks and libraries to be plugged into a web server and all communicate in the same way. At startup, Django is going to call for a WSGI application using a function called getWSGIApplication. And that function does a couple of things. It calls a Django setup, which does all of the startup configuration that we've talked about previously, and it returns a WSGI handler instance. As you can guess, that WSGI handler is designed to make WSGI work, but it's really a subclass of something referred to as a base handler. And the base handler is where all of the middleware setup occurs. If you dig into the source code and look around, you'll find a load middleware method. And the job of this middleware method is to go through the middleware setting in your settings file, and it will iterate through each of the middleware classes that are in the middleware list. And the objective is to build something that's called the middleware chain. The chain represents each instance of Django middleware put together, and they produce the desired effect of allowing a request and a response to go through the middleware as we described, comparing to that everlasting gobstopper analogy. So the middleware chain is built through load middleware, and that function does a couple of other things. It does handle some differences between synchronous and asynchronous stuff. It also does some special error handling stuff, and it has a couple of functions, but the end result is that you come out with this middleware chain that the WSGI handler will use when it processes a request, and it will pass it through the chain to make the calls that will ultimately call your view and then come out the other side to handle the response as well. So that covers the middleware's structure and how the chain is built a little bit, where you can go look if you want to learn more about that. But what does middleware do? Well, there's no single answer for what middleware does because it can do just about anything. It's really about its location that is what offers the biggest benefit. It's something that you can be virtually guaranteed your code will pass through at some point during a request lifecycle. I say virtually because there are exceptional ways to short circuit the chain and prevent certain requests from getting all the way through. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But typically, if a request goes all the way through to your view and comes all the way back out as a response, it will have passed through every middleware in that chain. So let's pick a middleware to consider as an example. Last time we talked about user authentication, and we talked briefly about the authentication middleware. And as a reminder, I'll tell you that middleware in particular, has the singular job of adding a user property to every HTTP request that passes through the application before it gets to the view code. This highlights qualities of middleware that we should highlight. Middleware should have a narrow or singular focus, and additionally, they should run a minimal amount of code. Why? Why is that? We have to think about it because it's a chain. Since every request is going to go through that middleware chain, it means that the middleware is going to run all the time. If you wrote a massive amount of code in your middleware, then you're going to have whatever performance cost that middleware has on your entire project. That means that we need to be really careful with our middleware to not try and do too much, because that's going to hinder the performance of your application. I also mentioned that there is an exceptional scenario that can occur in middleware that happens when a request does not actually get all the way through every middleware and is not processed by everything. And that is done because of this chain effect. You can think of it like breaking the chain. So for instance, high in the list of middleware in the default start project is a piece of middleware called the security middleware. And if you take the time to set up HTTPS for your website to make sure that your connections are secure for your application, the security middleware can do some additional checking. And it can check on circumstances like, what if somebody calls your website using HTTP? In that circumstance, rather than proceeding to the view code that depends on a secure connection, in that situation, the security middleware is going to redirect the user to the site using the HTTPS scheme instead of HTTP to make sure that the security of your application is maintained. The point is, none of the middleware below that security middleware or the view code would have been executed in that circumstance. The chain is broken, the behavior is short-circuited, and the security middleware returns a different kind of response based upon the action it wants to take. So that's a little bit about how middleware works. It's a little bit about why you might want to run your own middleware, but we need to understand how to make it. So let's say you find some scenario that is a narrow problem that's not going to be a lot of code that needs to run on every request. How do you make your own middleware? Let's look at that next. Let's begin with an empty definition of a middleware. Middleware follows an interface, and in full clarity, you can make a middleware that uses a function-based approach and closures and returns different functions. I'm going to go with a class-based middleware. I think it's easier to reason about generally, If functions are more your thing, you can go read the documentation. But all of my examples will be for the class-based version of middleware. Our empty middleware is going to be a class, and I'm going to call it Awesome Middleware, just for lack of a more creative name. And it has an init method, and the init method has an argument. That argument is going to be called get_response, and all that our basic init method is going to do is store that argument getResponse onto an attribute. So self.getResponse equals getResponse. There's a second method here, and it is the dunder call. So that's __call__. It's one of the quote unquote magic methods that comes with Python. It's one of these hook methods that changes the way Python objects can behave. And so our call method is going to receive as its argument a request. And it's going to return, and the thing it's going to return is the invocation of the self.getResponse. So getResponse was a callable that was passed in. And so we will return self.getResponse and pass that getResponse callable the request argument. If that was nonsensical to you, because I understand that this is a little mind-bending in some ways, go check out the show notes where I have the examples where you can see this and what this looks like. So after we create our basic middleware, we add it to our settings. We go into our project settings.py file. We go to our middleware settings, which is a list, and you can add your middleware to the bottom. In this case, I'm assuming that my middleware exists in my project in a file called middleware.py. So I'm adding the full path that Python will be able to see. So middleware.awesomemiddleware is where it's going to find the class. And that's it. That's all we have to do for adding a custom middleware. In this scenario, our middleware doesn't do anything yet. All it does is it keeps the chain unbroken. And I guess it has a little bit of a performance penalty because it's another thing to call, but there's no useful functionality yet. So we need to break down that interface and what is important about it. The init part of that, the init method that is part of that class, is used when load middleware starts up and instantiates each middleware, not just as a class. So it's not, we're not calling class methods here. Django is going to create instances of the classes and then chain those instances together. So our init has to be able to be built and it has to receive this getResponse callable. That getResponse callable is a critical element to middleware. It's what allows the chain to hang together. Because the way load middleware works is each middleware itself becomes callable, which is what we'll see in a second, and it passes that in as the init to the next middleware. And it's how it forms those layers that interconnect with each other. The next method that we had to talk about is the dunder call method. The dunder call method is not specific to Django. It is a Python thing, as I mentioned, and it allows the instance to be invoked as a callable. So the middleware itself becomes a callable thing. And as I mentioned, it has to call getResponse. And the reason it has to call getResponse is because that is the critical element to make sure that the chain doesn't break. If you don't call getResponse in your middleware, none of your application is going to work because everything will just stop working at that particular middleware. So let's expand our example a little bit to give it some functionality to give you an idea of something that we can do. And I'm going to make a very crude performance monitoring middleware here. It's not something that I would recommend anybody actually add to their application. It's meant for illustrative purposes, but it hopefully gets the idea across of when these things are called. So we're going to go back to our code, our middleware py file, and now we're going to import the logging module. And I haven't talked about logging yet in Django applications. For now, if you don't know what logging is, you've never encountered it before, just assume that it is stuff that can be written out to some kind of file or output source, and it's information that you want to record over time. You want to log it. And so we need to import logging, and then at the module level of our file, we're going to say logger equal logging.getLogger, and it takes an argument of dunder name. Inside of our awesome middleware, we will return to that, and we're going to modify our call method. The other import that we need at the top of the file that I neglected to mention is the time module. That's important too. At the start of our call method, we will call time.time and we will assign it to a variable that is the before timestamp. And we're going to log that. We're going to say logger.info and we'll use a F string to say tracking before timestamp. And then we will call self.getResponse, pass it the request, and the thing that it's going to return is our response object. After that line, we will call time.time again, and we'll assign it to a variable called after timestamp, and then we will create a new variable called delta that's equal to after timestamp minus before timestamp. And finally, before we return the response, we'll do logger.info with an F string of tracking after timestamp for a delta of delta. Again, this example is in the show notes if you can't get that in your head of what that code might look like. So what have we done here? What is actually happening? This middleware now is collecting the amount of time that it takes for every middleware after it and the view to run the code, return a response, and come back to this middleware. If this was actually a performance middleware that you just wanted for measuring view performance, you would put this at the very bottom of your middleware list to be the last middleware right before the view code runs. Again, I don't actually recommend this strategy here. This is mostly an example, but I want to give you an idea that where you put the middleware actually matters in what the impact is on how the middleware can operate. So this will log information about any request that comes in, and it will say how long it took to operate, and it will track both the before time and the after time and record all of that information into the log. Hopefully you can start to see how middleware could be useful for a wide variety of purposes, very cross-cutting purposes, things that might need to happen to all different kinds of HTTP requests that you're handling. That, in my opinion, would be useful enough if that's all that middleware did. But Django extends middleware even further and provides three different hook methods that you can use to further influence the behavior of your application. These three hook methods are process exception. So whenever an exception occurs, this hook will be called on your middleware. And I should highlight that it actually occurs for exceptions that you may not think are totally exceptional. For example, it's possible to raise an HTTP 404 response. That too, even though it is sort of a flow control mechanism in Django, will be handled by your process exception hook. So you need to be cognizant of that if you're writing that to catch exceptions. There is a process template response hook that is called whenever a view returns a response that happens to look like a template response. And that means that the response object itself has a render method. And then there is a process view hook as well that is called right before the view itself runs. So let's see what we can do with one of these hooks to make our silly little middleware do something a little bit better. I'm going to return to our same middleware file, and everything is going to be the same, but we're going to add a hook method to the bottom. We're going to use the process view method, and it takes a handful of arguments. The first is the HTTP request. The second is the view function callable itself. The third is the arguments that go into that view function. And the fourth is the keyword arguments that are going to go into that view function. And so the body of that method, in my example, is going to call logger.info, and it's going to be an F string that says running viewfunc.dundername view. And I'm taking advantage of some of Python's reflection capabilities to actually show what is the name of the view function that was called. And this will give us a bit of extra information. Previously, I said that the middleware as we had it would record information, but I didn't mention that it wouldn't record what view it was. So all you would get is timing information about any request in your system, but you would be ignorant about what view actually just ran. So it's not very helpful. But now that we've added the process view hook, our middleware suddenly becomes a bit more useful. Say, for example, that you wanted to go to the Django admin and you were unauthenticated. And so Django is going to try and send you to the login page to encourage you to go log into the admin site. In your log, you might have some tracking information that would look something like tracking, along with some sort of long timestamp number. The next line would say running login view, because it took the name from the view function and was able to record that. And then the line after that would say tracking with some timestamp for a delta of some other very small fractional number of how long it actually took to run the login view. Now, our middleware is actually doing something useful in theory. You could add this simple middleware to your application, and you could check your logs and see which of your views were taking a lot of time. That's a simple example of process view. There are other examples that you can find out there. I'm sure you can look at some of the existing middleware in Django. There's also a good example of process exception. If you want to take a look at the Rollbar error tracking service, Rollbar is not a sponsor of this podcast, but they're a service that I use for error tracking on my websites. And you can go check out their code, go search on GitHub for PyRollbar, and they have their middleware where they use process exception in order to catch exceptions that happen in your Django project. So if you want to see something used in earnest and on a system that gets used by lots of projects, you can go check out that code. There's also more information about hooks and all the documentation on the Django website to document all the details about middleware. So if you want to add one of these hooks, I didn't describe all of the arguments and parameters that go into each one, so you can go check out the docs if you want to write your own middleware. So now you know why you might want to write some middleware, how it kind of works, and how you can write your own. What middleware does Django itself include? The full list is again on the Django documentation as middleware reference, but I'm going to highlight some of the ones that I think are either commonly used or very useful to know about and have some understanding. A lot of them will appear in the start project command, not all of them in this case, but I'm still going to highlight a bunch of very common middleware. The first one to cover is the authentication middleware. We already talked about authentication middleware in the last episode, and we've covered what it does in this one again. As a reminder, it adds the user attribute to HTTP request objects. And that one little user attribute powered a ton of the auth system, all sorts of decorators, different spots in the code that need access to that user attribute as it's attached to HTTP request. And the implementation of the authentication middleware is shockingly simple, and you could understand it by taking a look at it for 10 to 20 seconds. The next one to call out is the common middleware. Common middleware to me is a bit of an oddball. It handles a variety of Django settings that control certain aspects of your project, but the settings aren't really super tight in what they're all about. For instance, there is the append slash setting. Append slash is going to take whatever kind of request you get, and if the request does not end in a slash, it will do a redirection to a version that ends in a slash. Django, in its design, chooses to make its URLs conventionally end in slash characters, and so this is supposed to help with that kind of thing. And that is the sort of thing that you'll find in common middleware. CSRF view middleware is something that we spoke briefly upon in the forms article, or actually I mentioned CSRF tokens in the forms article. I did not call out the middleware, but the middleware is how the CSRF token mechanism, which is a security feature that helps protect your site against bad form submissions, is implemented. So the CSRF view middleware checks on the token, make sure that it's present and valid on those submissions. So that is a very useful one. After that is the locale middleware. The locale middleware is not included by default, but it is used for translations. So if you plan to internationalize your project, make it available in multiple languages, you will be using locale middleware if you're relying on Django's locale middleware system, which I expect you would be. Another useful one to know about is called the message middleware. And messages in Django are what you might consider flash messages. Flash messages appear when you do a form submission and the page that you get redirected to at the top has some little one-time message that says your form submitted properly or whatever kind of messaging you want to have. So the message middleware helps control that system and is tightly bound with the session topic, but we haven't covered sessions yet. So we'll get more into messages later when we get into sessions. I've already mentioned the security middleware, but I'm going to keep it on this list too. The security middleware handles a bunch of things. It handles stuff like XSS, HSTS, HTTPS, and other security-related acronyms. We will cover security in more depth in a future episode, but the security middleware is a nice protection that can exist at the top of your middleware stack to make sure that silly things are not happening to your application that could compromise it. Lastly, I'll comment on the session middleware, and the session middleware manages session state about a user. It's a very important element that makes certain things like user auth work in many circumstances. We haven't covered sessions, again, as I mentioned, but we will in the future, but that is a valuable middleware to have as well. So there you have it. There's a list of what I think are common middleware that are useful to include in your projects. Many of them are included by default by Start Project, and you will use them. You can go read all about them in the reference. They're good things to understand. My takeaway for you here today is that you need to remember that middleware, while being a valuable tool, does have a performance cost. So we need to avoid the temptation to put too much functionality into middleware. But if you're paying attention to that aspect of it, middleware can be a fantastic tool to add some functionality that extends across your site. So in this episode, we looked at middleware, and I exposed you to a mental model for how to consider middleware and how to write your own middleware. And then we covered briefly some of the middleware classes that come with Django. On the next episode, we'll chat about static files. Static files are CSS, JavaScript, images, things that don't change on your site. They are static. We'll look at how Django works with those kind of files in your project. Full show notes for this episode are available at www.mattlehman.com/DjangoRiffs/11. Thanks for listening to this episode of Django Riffs. You can follow the show at DjangoRiffs.com. If you have something to share, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is mblehman, or follow the Django Riffs handle to keep up with the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate or review on iTunes, Spotify, or from wherever you listen to podcasts. Your rating will help others discover the podcast, and I would be very grateful. Django Riffs is supported by listeners like you. If you can contribute financially to cover hosting and production costs, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/mblehman. The theme music for Django Riffs is Open Roads, used with permission from Purple Planet Music. I hope you'll join us next time to learn more about Django. Take care.